May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have any of you ever suffered from the where's my syndrome? Or maybe you've suffered from one of the related syndromes, because it's a large family. For example, the have you seen my syndrome? Or the I can't find my syndrome. And then there's the slightly more sinister version, somebody moved my. And of course, at times, there's even the directly accusatory version, where did you put my? Some days, one or another form of these syndromes is rampant in my house. In fact, sometimes it's almost an epidemic, and it infects everybody who lives there. I've tried to figure out if maybe there's something in the insulation, or something in the walls, or something somewhere that causes this. But it happens. Now, when just one of us has that problem, we can usually deal with it pretty effectively. But when there are simultaneous attacks, it gets pretty serious pretty quickly. One other thing I've noticed about these syndromes, and I don't think you guys probably know this yet, they get worse with age. Don't tell anybody. They do. They seem to get worse with age. And I personally am beginning to think that there's simply no cure for any of these syndromes. In fact, I read an article about that recently, and I was going to read a little bit of it to you, but I can't remember where I put it. In our gospel lesson for today, we have what just might be the absolute worst case of where's my in all of recorded history. And this actually brings us to our first point, where Mary and Joseph ask, where's Jesus? Where's my son? She thought. Little background. Jesus was just turned 12. He was the age of 12. And he came for the Passover feast. Now, his family journeyed every year. Devout Jews that within a reasonable distance were expected to do that. So pretty much the whole village would pack up and they would go to Jerusalem for the Passover. But this time was different because Jesus was 12, which meant that he was now able to go into the inner courtyard. But so they went to the temple and they left and Jesus stayed behind. He stayed behind. Now, they were traveling in a large crowd, so of course Mary and Joseph didn't really notice that Jesus wasn't with them. From our gospel lesson, we read what happened next. Supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Can you imagine their panic? They can't find their child. Have you ever lost your child in a mall or a grocery store or somewhere, even for a moment or two? That overwhelming sense of panic. Well, think of that lasting for 3 days. You know, traveling in those days was fraught with danger. They had no idea if he had just dropped off while they were journeying for that day or what. They had no clue where he was, although they should have. But they didn't understand, and they were worried because it was very dangerous, especially for a 12-year-old child to be off by himself. And there's one other thing to think about here. Not just the panic that they couldn't find their son, but remember, Jesus is not merely the son of Mary. He's also the Son of God. Put yourself in Joseph and Mary's shoes. You have been given the awesome, incredible responsibility of raising the Son of God to adulthood. And you've lost him. What do you do? What do you say to God? And you say, well, God, I'm really sorry and all that. I mean, things have been going really great. In fact, Jesus is a perfect child. But we kind of sort of seem to have misplaced him. So we're sure he's around here somewhere, God, and we're sure we'll find him. You know, it'll work out all right, God. We're sure of it. But if you could just maybe kind of help us find him, I mean, that would be great. And we promise we'll be more careful from now on. Now, I don't know about all of you, but that is not a conversation I would want to have with God Almighty. In fact, it would probably be the worst conversation with God since Adam and Eve had a conversation about a certain fruit and serpent in the Garden of Eden. But you know, it all worked out. It worked out just fine because they found Jesus in the temple. This actually brings us to our key verse. So if we could read this verse out loud together. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers. Now, with the benefit of 2020 hindsight, some of us are probably thinking, well, of course he was in the temple. Where else would he be? That should have been the first place that they looked. I find it interesting that in her worry and her relief, Mary even scolded Jesus a little bit, saying, "Son, why have you treated us so?" But the 12-year-old Jesus is a bit perplexed by such a question. Remember, in Jewish society, a boy became a man at age 12 and could then go with the other men into the temple rather than staying out in the courtyard with the women. So it would be reasonable for Jesus to be at the temple proper. And it should be expected that he would be speaking with the rabbis. And remember, at this time, Jerusalem, the temple at Jerusalem, was the center of the worship of God. It was only at the temple of Jerusalem that the required offerings of the Mosaic law could be made. And only the altar within the temple stronghold could be used in making these offerings. In fact, in many ways, the temple was the center not only of Jewish worship, but of the Jewish culture of that day. So it is completely to be expected that Jesus, at the significant age of 12, would be at the temple. That is to say, Mary and Joseph should have realized that he would be about his father's business. That brings up another little minor point that I had not really thought of before, that I was kind of studying this passage. Jesus obviously knows his parentage. And this is the first time he gets to go into the temple proper. What an impact that must have made on the 12-year-old Jesus, going into his father's house for the very, very first time. Amazing. Amazing. He was aware of his parentage. He was also aware of who he was. And he understood that he was going to be doing whatever his heavenly Father would lead him to do. But the time for his public ministry had not yet arrived. So 12-year-old Jesus went obediently with Mary and Joseph and was submissive to his parents. Imagine that. The Son of God bowed to the authority of his earthly parents. You know, there's another question we should think about today. In a world that is in such desperate need of a moral compass, in a world where so many are suffering so greatly for so many reasons in so many different lands, we might wonder today, where's Jesus? Where is Jesus in the midst of all this? Well, Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple. But the problem there is that temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD and has never been rebuilt. So, where do we find Jesus? We can't go looking at the temple in Jerusalem. So where do we look? Where do we find him? I submit that the actual answer to that question hasn't really changed. Where do we find Jesus? We find him in his temple. That's where, just like Joseph and Mary. We read, "And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?'" So we find him in the temple. But didn't I just say that temple was destroyed? Yes. That magnificent edifice of stone and marble, adorned with incredible treasures, no longer exists. All that is left is the Wailing Wall, where Orthodox Jews come to pray for the deliverance that has already come. The deliverance they missed when they rejected the Messiah who walked among them. But Jesus is still in his temple. When he proclaimed the final triumph of God on the cross, saying, "It is finished," the curtain of the old temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This symbolized that God would no longer dwell in a building of stone. Rather, he has a new temple. It's the place where his Holy Spirit dwells. His new temple is all around you this morning. His new temple is in you, literally in each of us. God's people are his new temple. Where's Jesus? Look for his people. My sister lives on the Gulf Coast, as many of you know, and her home was destroyed by Katrina, along with countless others. And she talks about seeing what happened there was that she saw the church at work in the days, weeks, months, even years following Katrina, when God's people gathered to be God's hands and God's feet to those in need. Truly, we are God's temple. So on a dark day, when your life is filled with worry or pain or some other kind of trouble, where do you find Jesus? Within you. He's there, waiting to talk, to listen, waiting for you to come meet him. Where's Jesus? Why, just look to those who look to him for salvation. Look to the baptized, to the ones he calls his own. And all of these, all of us, are now the temple of God. And as you meet Jesus in his temple, that's when you find the peace of God which passes all understanding. will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise.